Welcome to Life Church McDonough Podcast. If you will, please visit us at lifechurchmcdonough.com, or you can follow and subscribe at Life Church McDonough on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. If you're in the McDonough area, please come visit us. Life happens here.
You deserve the glory.
Do you feel the presence of the Almighty God in this house this morning? I hope you came expecting. I hope you came hungry. I hope you came ready for God to change us. I'm ready for His love. I'm so grateful to be your pastor, church. I want to say thank you for that high honor and privilege to be a part of your life. I love you. Jubilee and I love you. And it's a privilege and an honor to serve this church and this great community that we live in. Amen. Well, I'm praying that God is going to send revival to South Atlanta through Life Church. Life happens here. It happens here, church. Here at Life Church, I'm here to declare this morning that we love people to life. We love people to life. We love people to life by cultivating moments that build real relationships, faith, and purpose-filled life. That's our church. Life Church, God has given me a very clear word this morning. Your pastor has heard from heaven today. And I'm ready as we continue this series on spiritual warfare. I want you to lean in, church. I want you to get ready because God wants to infuse something in you this morning that will change your life forever. This week, I know this week's been difficult, but it's time to fight back. Come on, somebody. This week has been challenging, but God sent me to tell you it's time to fight back. In the name of Jesus. If you've been stressed out, in the name of Jesus, fight back. Hallelujah. This morning, I don't plan to talk about God. I plan to talk for the Almighty God, the Maker, the Creator of heaven and earth. God is going to speak to us this morning. I pray that if you have ears, let them hear and receive what the Spirit of God wants to speak to His church this morning. I know that God, what He wants to communicate to us in these next few moments will effectively and profoundly change the trajectory of all of our lives. All of our lives, starting with me, if we will allow it to. This message can change us if we let it in. Are you ready? Are you ready for God to move? Are you ready for His presence? I dare you, if you're ready for the Holy Spirit to move in this place, lift up a shout one more time. Hallelujah. If you're ready for a fresh anointing of heaven to fall fresh in your life, begin to just simply speak the name of Jesus under your breath. Jesus, you're worthy. Jesus, you're holy. Jesus, you're magnificent. If you came not to play church or pretend and act with religious games, but you came to get your fight back this morning and make war in the heavenlies, I dare you to stand up on your feet right now all across this room. If you came not to be religious, but to deepen a relationship with Jesus Christ, jump up on your feet and shout hallelujah. Reach towards heaven right now. We worship you, God. Hallelujah. We bless your name, Jesus. If you're ready for the word of God, we're ready, Jesus. Philippians chapter 4 says this in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. Always, again, I say, rejoice. Hallelujah. Somebody's going to get your praise back today. Rejoice. Let your gentleness, oh, that's so important. Your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Oh, thank you for your presence, Jesus. Don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving in our hearts, present our requests to God. And the peace of God, somebody say peace, the peace of God which transcends our understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Jesus Christ. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is true and pure, whatever is lovely and admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, then think about such things. whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And I want you, somebody needs this morning. This last sentence is so important. And the God of peace. I said, the God of peace. The God of peace will be with you. Bow your hearts. Posture your hearts towards heaven this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. God, in this holy moment, I pray that the peace of God that transcends understanding would rest on us this morning. God, I pray there is chaos. We admit there is chaos. Life is hard. Many of us are hurting right now. The storm of life is raging, but God, you are our ever-present help in time of need. I know that so many of us walked in this room this morning with anxiety, and many are stressed out to the max, but Jesus, I'm asking that right now in this holy moment, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that the peace of God would begin to wage war with the stress, wage war with depression, wage war with anxiety. God, we need you right now. Right now we need you in this holy moment. Will you release your peace in your congregation, in your people, in our families, God? Let your peace manifest in a supernatural way this morning. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. Praise God as you're making your way to your seat. We love you. Can we give it up for Miss Faith Hand this morning? Our friend from Florida did a phenomenal job leading us into the presence of God this morning. Thank you for your ministry of worship. We're so grateful. And our worship team did a phenomenal job this morning. I'm grateful for them. Well, this morning I came to preach. Y'all ready? Oh, I'm excited. During fall break, my son Damian and Sophia, Pastor Bree had scheduled them to go away, praise God, for a week. I love them, but, you know, sometimes we need a break. And so Damian and Sophia were at Camp Bridgeway, and Lucas is really frustrated about this, y'all. He tells us all the time, like, why can't I go to youth? I'm like, son, it's because you're 8 years old. You got to grow a little bit. And so we had the whole week with Lucas, and we went and took him on an adventure to Stone Mountain. Anybody been to Stone Mountain before? We went and we hiked up the mountain, and Lucas did not let his mom and dad walk. He said, let's run. And so we made a record time up and then back down the mountain. And I was huffing and puffing. I'm thinking to myself, who shall ascend the mountain of God? No, I wasn't thinking that at all. I'm like, will you slow down, kid? You're too fast. And anyways, we stayed the night at the lodge at the mountain. And it was really cool because Lucas got to feel really special. And in the morning at like 7 a.m., someone in this... I don't know about y'all, I'm a light sleeper. Any light sleepers in the house? I wake up if my wife just moves a little bit in the bed. So I'm waking up all the time. And somebody at 7 a.m. in the morning started pounding on our hotel door. And so in that moment, in a split second, I went from asleep to like adrenaline rush. Like, it's like Hulk smash, right? I don't know what was going on in my mind. But I popped up really quickly, and I was ready, let's just say, to fight back. Come on, somebody. Can we talk about that for a minute? We went to the door, and y'all, it was just housekeeping. On the one day we had an opportunity to sleep in, they pounded on our door. Housekeeping? No, we don't want you to fluff our pillow. Come on. So grumpily, we said, no, thank you. Move on. And here's the deal. We could have slept in, and we kicked ourselves in the foot because we didn't put the little sign on the door. Y'all know that. What does that sign say, church? Do not disturb. See, our peace was not protected simply because we didn't put a sign up. And so the title of today's message is playfully, Do Not Disturb My Peace.
Do not disturb my peace. Come on, somebody needs that this morning. Don't you dare disturb my peace. Come on, God sent me to say, your peace is worth fighting for, church. Your peace is worth fighting. God is calling you and I to fight back and declare, don't disturb my peace. God's calling it. Oh, I wish somebody would get that this morning in your spirit and help me preach. My enemies can't distort my peace in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. My circumstances can't derail my peace in Jesus' name. Somebody get that in your spirit. My problems can't determine my peace in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. The adversity that is in my life cannot destroy my peace in Jesus' name. See, the weight of this world might be pressing in all around me, but in the name of Jesus, I said, in the name of Jesus, I'm putting a sign out as a signal to everyone that can see it. Do not disturb my peace. Do not disturb. I think this is vital for us if we're going to grow deeper in our understanding of legitimate spiritual warfare. We must understand the power we possess in this thing called peace. Peace. Jesus is our everything. Obviously, this morning, it's all about him. We give him the glory. He deserves the praise. I will seek first the one who matters most. I'm devoted to Jesus Christ. He is our everything. He's our Lord and our Savior. I love him with my whole heart. I'm devoted to Jesus. Who else is with me this morning? He is Alpha and Omega. He is the bright and morning star. Come on, somebody. He's Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. He is the Savior of the world who paid the ransom for my sin and for yours. One of the most profound and spiritually potent moments in Jesus' life, we're about to see it, but one of the labels that I think we miss often as a community is we don't lean into this enough that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of peace. Look at what John 14 says. He says, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father is going to send in my name, he'll teach you all things. He'll remind you of everything that I've said to you. But watch this, church. He said this with his own mouth. He's anticipating it. He's ready for it, and he's wanting to give it to us. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I don't give to you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid, because in a paraphrase, he said, I have come to give you peace. Church, this morning, peace I give you, peace I leave with you. Those words mean so much, and it means this: Jesus has given us peace, and our peace is a weapon. Our peace is a weapon, church. It is a tool, a spiritual warfare. All month long, we're focusing on fighting back. Fighting back. All month long, we're learning how to be more effective as we are in the middle of spiritual warfare, because whether you know it or not, you're right smack dab in the middle. The enemy hates you. The enemy hates us. We are in the middle of a war. But this week, the word of the Lord came to me so clearly and powerfully. Peace is our weapon. It's our weapon. As I was interceding and lifting you up in prayer all week long, as I was considering what I know is taking place in our community, I have a privilege, but it's also a hard thing to know some things that are going on in your lives. I bear that and I place it at the feet of Jesus whenever there's heaviness, and it's an honor and a privilege, but I know there's things going on. I know there's trouble in your home. I know there's difficulty that you're facing. And I recognize that the many attacks that are happening right now, because the devil hates us. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy and put a stop to every good thing that God is doing in us and through us. And God told me clearly to articulate this powerful truth. God said this: if you have peace, it really doesn't matter what the enemy does. If you have peace, it really doesn't matter what the enemy does. He can't kill you because you're going to heaven with Jesus. He can't rob you because God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. If you have peace, it doesn't matter. Oh, that's good enough to repeat one more time. If we have peace in our spirit, it doesn't even matter what the enemy tries to do. I want to encourage you to write that down and put it somewhere where you see it all week long. Because when hell comes at you, you need to remind yourself, I got peace, so it doesn't matter. I got Jesus, so it doesn't matter. I love that. If you have peace, it really doesn't matter what this enemy does to me. See, the Apostle Paul said it like this: I have learned to live with abundance, and I have learned to live in lack, and I've learned to be content in whatever circumstance comes my way. What was Paul saying? Paul was saying, peace is my weapon. Peace is my stability. He said in another letter to the church, neither height nor depth, come on somebody, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come can separate me from the love of God. Do whatever you want, Satan, because I have peace. I have peace in my spirit from the lover of my soul. Somebody help me preach this morning. Your peace is your weapons, church. Your peace, if you have your peace, it doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter what comes our way. The enemy can't defeat us when we walk in peace, church. I declare many of us are going to get our peace back this morning. I'm getting my peace back this morning. Do not disturb my peace in the name of Jesus. The Old Testament has this powerful example of this truth, and I know nobody's going to walk home thinking, you know, will you allow me to go through this, Lord? But there's a man named Job in the Old Testament, and he was a righteous man, and he loved God, and he walked in character and integrity. All of us are trying to do that, just like Job, and he was consistent, and he was one of the most faithful people on the face of the planet. And y'all know what our adversary did, the enemy of our soul, tried God. He said, Hey, God, can I test this joker? Because I think if I do what I can to Job, he's going to curse you. He's going to bow his knee to me if you give me the ability to mess with him. And God said, you can do whatever you want. Just don't kill him. You can go after him. And here's the deal. Long story short, do your best, but don't kill him. And in a moment, Job went from being rich to being broke. He went from prosperity to need. His farm was a growing empire. He was an entrepreneur, an influencer. His name was great in his community. And in a moment, all of it was destroyed. All of it burned up. He loved his wife, and he loved his children with all of his heart. And in a moment, his family was taken from him. In a devastating accident, no, anyone who has lost a child in the house knows this is an indescribable heartache, indescribable weight as a parent. In a moment, he went from being a man of physical stature to being somebody who was having painful boils all over his body. His wife, who was his helpmate and his partner, his right hand, went from being an encouragement to being the person that was in his ear saying, hey, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? Just give up. But here's the deal, church. Our peace is our weapon. Job understood this principle in spiritual warfare. He was in the middle of the worst battle of his life, and at some point, God had clearly communicated to him, Job, if you have your peace, it doesn't matter what happens to you. And Job was able to say in the middle of his mess, Job preached his most powerful message, church. In the middle of his test, he articulated his powerful testimony. He said in verse chapter 13, he said, though he may slay me, I will trust in my God, but I will maintain my own ways before him. I will not allow this to rob my peace. See, God sent me this October to remind somebody, your peace is your weapon. God sent me to preach into the depths of who you are, what you're going through. I know it's hard, and my heart is broken with you, but your peace is your weapon. If you have your peace, it doesn't matter what the enemy does. God sent me to proclaim this morning very clearly, your tranquility and your stability, in other words, your peace, is the key to overcoming spiritual attack. You calming yourself down in the middle of your chaos. Somebody needs to breathe this morning. God sent me to say you're called to fight back, and God wants us to fight for our peace this week. There's all hell's breaking loose, but right now in this moment, someone needs to just take in a... Receive your peace. Peace I leave for you. Peace I give. If someone walked in this room preoccupied and stressed out, you need to rest in his peace. Let it in. Let your tranquility be your weapon. Let me remind someone, he holds the whole world in his hands. How often do we forget, well, if I don't do this, then this won't happen. Can I just remind you? No, he's in control. Yes, we have personal responsibility, and he calls us to do things with our gifts, talents, and abilities. But praise God, I'm grateful to know that I am not in charge of this church. Jesus is in charge of the church. He is the Lord of the increase. He's the God of revival. I'm just but a steward to say, God, thank you. Thank you that I don't have to put all this weight on my shoulders. I'm going to fight for my peace in Jesus' name. Let me remind somebody, he holds the whole world. So he holds everything. Hell is trying to steal, kill, and destroy, but no weapon formed against us is going to prosper in the name of Jesus. When hell is actively trying to discourage me, when my circumstances are not playing out like I would like them to, when stress levels are high, can I get a witness? When things are pressure-packed and people I love and I know hurt me, when my peace is under attack, I love to pray this passage over my life, church. I declare it over me, and I'm declaring it over life, church, this morning. Jeremiah 17, it says, but blessed is the one whose trust is in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in the year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. I personalize this scripture all the time in the name of Jesus, like a tree planted by the water. I shall not be moved. I stick my chest out like a man and I say to my enemy, I'm not moving. It's my peace. Is my weapon. Come on, somebody needs to get planted this morning. You're not moving because you have peace in the name of Jesus. You are God. I am not. I may have a plan, but my Bible says you ultimately establish the plans of righteous men and women. I may be a pastor, but praise God, you're the leader of this church. Hallelujah. I may make some decisions, but ultimately it relies on you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That gives me peace. Your plan and your purpose for my life is to prosper me, to give me a hope and a future, not to harm me. So I'm determined in the name of Jesus to be at peace. I don't understand. It's confusing. And there's a lot of things that I want to say, why in the world is this happening? But I will fight for my peace in Jesus' name. I'm determined this morning. I'm determined to fight back with peace because my peace is my weapon. It doesn't matter what hell may come my way. Come on, somebody. Because Jesus came to bring peace, and Jesus has left me with peace. So what am I going to fight for? Peace. Peace is our weapon, church. See, I believe God wants to equip us this morning with one of the most potent and powerful weapons we could receive in spiritual warfare. He's calling us to fight with peace. Here's what I'm convinced, church. I'm convinced of this. The only reason Christians lose a spiritual battle is because we don't prepare ourselves for it. The only reason, we've got the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the author and the perfecter, the bright and morning star. There is no name that is above him. He doesn't worship anyone because no one is above him to be capable of being worshiped. We have victory in the name of Jesus. Come on, I said we have victory in the name of Jesus, we have everything we need to live a righteous life according to his word. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are powerful, mighty through God to tear down strongholds and demolish everything that sets itself up against the word of God. The only reason we as Christians lose battles is because we don't prepare. In Jesus, we are more than conquerors. Oh, I know, I don't feel like that, Pastor. Well, it doesn't matter what you feel like. God made you more than a conqueror. We are the bride of Christ. Let me say that one more time. We are the bride of Christ. If you want to see your pastor get mad, come at my wife. You want to get a different look on my face where you're like, I've never seen that in him, then come at my wife. I'm looking at Dan because he'd never do that. Dan is the most loving man on the planet. He ain't never messing with my wife, but he knows what's coming if he does. Think about that. For all the men in this room who are married, Dan, you're about to experience this. Praise Jesus. Man, you're going to be an alpha protector of this young lady. And when you go to the gym with her and you see that joker look at her, something in you is like, You okay, thunder and lightning, right? Ha ha. You need to know, men, let that sink in for a moment. We, as the church, are the bride of Christ. So if I'm going to defend my wife no matter what, and I'm going to go to bat for her when hell comes at her, and you better watch out if you want to come at her, if I'm going to do it as a fallible, imperfect man who needs a savior, if we, the scripture talks about it with fatherhood, if we who are imperfect know how to treat our family correct, how much more will our heavenly father defend us? We are the bride of Christ, and he wants to defend us. It gives me peace to know that God is on my side. My God is for me and not against me. You need to get this in your spirit. God is for you this morning. He is with you. He's not against you. My God doesn't count my faults and my failures against me. Hallelujah. If you are in the same boat I am, praise God, you don't count my faults against me. He is faithful and just to forgive all unrighteousness. That gives me peace. Thank you, God. I'm so excited because as a church, we're going to fight back for our peace. As a church, peace is a powerful weapon that every single one of us, you've been following Jesus for 20 years or you've been following him for 20 minutes, you can be changed by this. Whether you're mature or a baby Christian, you can fight for your peace. I'm excited. I'm excited because we're about to put a do not disturb sign in our life. Don't disturb my peace in Jesus' name. It's time to say, don't disturb my peace when emotions are running high. Come on, somebody. Do not disturb my peace when my energy levels are low. Come on, somebody's relating right now. Do not disturb my peace when we navigate through stressful situations. In the name of Jesus, do not disturb when difficult people are in my ear. Anybody with me this morning? Do not disturb my peace when the bank account is shrinking. Hallelujah. Don't disturb my peace when the baby at home are sick. Do not disturb my peace when my husband is out of town and I got four kids. I'm praying for you, Caroline. Don't disturb my peace when anxiety that seems to be so real and so difficult. No, don't disturb. Don't disturb my peace. See, I'm calling us this morning. Fight back and speak to the things that are trying to rob you of your peace. Do not disturb stress. It's not going to take me down. Don't disturb pressure of the weight of the world. Our enemy hates this church. He hates this message already because we're dangerous when we have peace. We're dangerous. God wants us to see this morning if the enemy can rob us of our peace, he can rob us of our spiritual victory. If he can rob you of your peace, he can get your spiritual victory from you. And that's the last thing Jesus wants for you. Peace I leave, peace I give to you. Look at me with this passage, one last passage of scripture we're going to look through. Are y'all okay? Is this good? Anybody being blessed yet this morning? Let's look at this example that Jesus gave us to fight back for our peace. Turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. I love this passage. It's someone many of us have heard over and over again, but I know there's some new truth to be pulled from it this morning. Verse 35 says this. It says, "That day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, 'Go, let's go over to the other side.'" Let's go, gentlemen. I have a version of corporate Jesus in my head. Gentlemen, it's time to go. It's time to go to the other side, sir. So get in my boat. And read your Bible that way. It's funner. Right away, we have something to take away from this story. If you missed it, I'm going to tell you just what it is. Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go to the other side." And God sent your pastor to mentor us for a moment. He sent me to preach that disciples of Jesus Christ are not called to stay put. Disciples of Christ are called to fight back. Go to the other side. You and I are called to move, not be stagnant. We're called to stretch and grow. We're called to get out of our comfort zone and grow. Jesus is calling us as a church. Life Church is moving to a new level. Jesus is calling you and I to go to the other side and step out in faith. It's time to step out in faith. Sometimes when Jesus calls us to do these things, it's uncomfortable. Because here's the deal, you're about to see it. Jesus called his disciples to go straight smack dab into a storm, right into the storm. But we can learn and have peace in that discomfort. I want us to see how the storm came so that we can actually learn to live at peace. That's what a lot of us ask that question, why in the world is this happening? It's because the storm is there so that you can learn to be at peace no matter what. You bless me, Lord, I'm at peace. Everything falls apart, I'm at peace. That's what God is teaching us. Jesus calls the disciples to the other side, and they get in a boat together. And look at what happens in verse 37. It says, a furious squall, that means storm, came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. It was falling apart. And I love this. Jesus, listen to this. Don't miss this powerful weapon. Jesus was in the stern, snoozing on a cushion. He was asleep, y'all. Sleeping on his favorite pillow. The disciples woke him up and said, "What are you doing? Don't you care? Teacher, we're going to drown." And here's what Jesus did. Oh, hey, guys. Wind, waves, y'all got to stop. He rebuked the wind and the waves. Be quiet and be still. He put a do not disturb my peace. Then the wind died down. Hallelujah. And it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why in the world are y'all afraid? What's going on? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified, and they asked a good question. Why? Who is this man whom even the wind and the waves obey him? That's the Lord we serve. Will you give me just a couple more moments to dive in and draw some more powerful, life-giving truth? Are y'all okay with this? Can I get just a little? Is anybody hungry for the Word of God this morning? Is anybody hungry for a revelation from His Word today? Jesus, He pointed His disciples in a direction. Go this way. How many times has that happened with you? Go try this new thing. Go step out in faith. And the moment you do, all hell breaks loose. The moment you say yes to a decision that was hard to say yes to, oh, something falls apart. Here's the deal. He pointed and said, "Let's go to the other side." And there was a destination, and there was direction, and then there was a decision to do. I don't like doing that, but it just came to me that way. Your pastor said 3 D's. Y'all heard that? I'm just having fun up here. There was a destination, a direction to go, and there was a decision to do what Jesus was calling them to do. And then there was a distraction that came in the form of a storm. So here's the deal. When you and I get a direction from heaven, That's when the spiritual attack is coming. When you get a direct, go this way. Do this with your life. Step out in faith in this way. That's when your Jeep's breaking down 20 minutes after you got it. That's when it hits the fan. That's when spiritual attack is going to come. But here's the deal. The closer we get to God and where God wants us to be, that's when the more direct and intense spiritual warfare is going to take place. That's why I know we're on the brink of revival at our church, because when all hell starts to break loose and difficult situations begin to surface, I know we're real close to what God wants for us, because God's about to do things in our church and in our community like never before, because when we start obeying where he tells us to go, that's when it breaks out. See, I think God wants us to simply understand a spiritual attack is designed to prevent us from reaching our God-ordained destination. Go to the other side. And that's when the storm came. Why was the storm there? To prevent them from getting to the other side. I'm not trying to make anyone feel like I'm mocking your intelligence. It's just right there in God's word. Spiritual attack is designed to stop you from doing what God called you to do. And Jesus said, go to the other side. And as soon as everybody was on board, as soon as everyone was pointed in the right direction, that's what happens at our church. As soon as everyone was willing to do what Jesus was calling them to do, that's when the storm came. I can't help but be reminded of COVID. I can't help but think about when Jubilee and I got here in September of 2019, and we started to do what Jesus was asking us to do at McDonough First Assembly of God. And our church was ready and willing to go to the next level. We all started moving in the right direction. We began a journey together, and we locked arms. And as soon as we started getting some traction and feeling some growth and making some progress in McDonough, the storm of a global pandemic hit to try to stop us from going where God wants us to. But praise God, we're not going to let it. In Jesus' name. This is how our enemy works. As soon as you begin to make strides in your marriage, a storm is going to hit another area of your life to prevent you from reaching your ordained destination. I'm going to preach to somebody this morning. As soon as we start trusting him with our finances, and you know what, God, I'm going to give my tithe. I'm going to give to missions on a regular basis. As soon as you trust him with your resources, a physical storm hits your body to discourage you in the form of sickness. That's exactly what the enemy does. As soon as we start to point ourselves in the right direction and get consistent in our devotional life and start partnering with the whole church in daily devotions, that's when all hell's going to break loose in your career. And something's going to start falling. I'm not trying to scare anybody this morning, but I will always, as your pastor, tell you the truth. Storms are coming when we do what Jesus tells us. When you do a phenomenal job to renovate our bathrooms, that's when the storm is going to come, because you're a willing vessel that loves this church and it has a genuine heart, and you're a man of God with purpose called to do great things and help people. That's when the storm comes. Thank God for Ace. He hates me right now, but I love him so much. But I've come to tell somebody, you don't need to be afraid of the storm. Stop being afraid, like a tree planted by the water. I shall not be moved. I will plant myself. God sent me to encourage someone who's in the middle of your storm right here and right now. Storms are not meant to be avoided. They're meant to be gone through. They're meant to be gone through. Let me say that one more time. Storms are not meant to be avoided. They're meant to be gone through in the name of Jesus. The way to get through your storm, the way to get through your adversity, the way to get through the pain of life right now, is with supernatural peace. Supernatural peace. As soon as the storm hit, the disciples lost it. They lost it. But see this, Life Church, Jesus was asleep. Who do I want to be like? Do I want to be like knucklehead disciples that when stuff happens, they lose it? No, I want to prop my feet up. Lay my head on that pillow and put the sign on the door this time. Don't disturb. I'm sleeping in this morning in the name of Jesus. That's good word. The disciples came unhinged.
What are we going to do? What is going to happen? I don't know. Don't you even care when you see the wind, the waves, the boat?
That's exactly, I do that. Come on, I'm not trying to hate on anybody. I go to DEF CON 5 all the time. I can be one of the most negative Nancys on the face of this planet. Oh, that's what the disciples did, but Jesus placed his head on a cushion. As I reread this passage over and over, I realized something. It's taken me a lot to figure this out, but I realized something in my own life, in my own walk with Jesus. These disciples were obedient, and they still faced a storm. They said yes, and they still, I've been obedient, church, and I'm still going through storms. I've been trustworthy, and I'm still going through storms. The disciples were close to Jesus. They walked with him. They talked with him. They ate with him. They even slept next to him in camping situations. I'm not trying to get awkward. They were close to closer than we've ever been, and they still faced a storm. I'm closer to Jesus right now than I've ever been in my life. I love him with my whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. And I still face storms. The wind and the waves are all around me. It feels like the boat is about to sink sometimes. But I think God wants to encourage those of us that are in the middle of a storm right now, because the enemy wants you to think there's something wrong with you. The enemy wants you to think, well, my Jeep is broke, so I must be doing something bad. That God stopped loving me now. I must not be one of his favorites anymore. That's a lie from the pit of hell, church. God sent me to say this. There is nothing wrong with you. There is nothing wrong with you. There is nothing wrong with you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. You can be with Jesus doing the perfect will of the Father. Jesus said it himself, I don't do anything unless the Father tells me to. And he told his disciples, time to go. Let's go to the other side. So he's in the perfect will of the Father. Everybody's with Jesus, and the storm still came. Someone needs to stop beating yourself up just because your life is challenging right now. You need to stop hating yourself and start loving your peace. If you're in a storm right now, that simply means that God is calling you higher. God is calling you deeper. God is calling you to take new territory for his name's sake. God is calling you into a new place. And that new place is going to be so good, but you're going to have to go through a storm to get there. And I know many of us, if you're in the middle of your storm right now in this moment, I know many of you are. I've been through it this week, but here's the deal. God is calling us to be like Jesus and keep our cool when the wind and the waves look scary. When everything, so keeping our cool and maintaining our peace in the middle of our storm, can I just testify that's easier said than done? Oh, that's a good word, Pastor, but why don't you try it this week? Why don't you live my life right now? Because it's sanctify my tongue right now, Jesus. That's why it's spiritual warfare. That's why this applies so much to spirit. This is what spiritual warfare looks like. God sent me to wake us up to the reality that if we lose our peace, we lose our advantage. We lose our peace. We lose our the wind and the waves look bigger than they actually are. God showed me this practical truth. When we are weak, we make mistakes. That's what the disciples were doing. They were trying to be obedient, but they were weak. Wait a second. Look at what we're dealing with, Lord. I'm afraid. Here's the deal. When we're weak, we make mistakes. We make mistakes when we're tired. Anybody tired? You didn't get much sleep last night. Something woke you up. You better be careful this afternoon on your way in the parking lot. Let's just say in the lobby, whatever it may be. When you're tired, you make mistakes. When you're hungry, hallelujah. I'm so glad for the decision that we start church at 10 a.m. now so that we actually don't end at 1 because your pastor likes to preach long-winded. We actually can beat somebody to a buffet if we want to, hallelujah. But when we're hungry, I make mistakes. My wife looks at me sometimes and says, hey, you need to eat. You're out your mind right now. We make mistakes when we're stressed out. That's practical, but it's good. That somebody should be feeling that in you this morning. When you are stressed out, God didn't call you to live from that posture. You'll make mistakes. That's why it's so important for us to fight for our peace, church. And this took me a long time to figure out. This took me a long time to get a hold of this truth. And praise God, I'm still not perfect at it. There are still days where it gets the better of me. But I have to remind myself, man, let's do better tomorrow. Let's pick ourselves up. That was a mistake. I was hungry, tired, and stressed. A trifecta. I'm going to be okay today. Don't disturb my peace. I would get stressed out, and then this is what I would do. Because I was stressed out, I'd stress everybody out around me. If I'm worried, you better be worried. I would hear the thunder crash. I'd see the bright flash of lightning from the storm that was raging all around me, and I would yell, what are you thinking? Do you even care? Look at what's going on all around me. Do you hear the thunder, Lord? This storm is crazy. And too often, I would let my circumstance rob me of my peace. I think about the visual imagery in Mark chapter 4 that the boat was rocking. Some of y'all have been on a boat in rough waters. Wave after wave hit over and over again and splashed into the boat. And with every wave, the water was pushing the boat lower and lower. And the thunderclap was loud as flashes of lightning seemed to get closer and closer. This is the visual image. And it was in that moment that the disciples were yelling, don't you care? We're drowning here. I'm overwhelmed, God. And the whole time, Jesus was sleeping. The whole time he had his feet kicked up. The whole time he had found that perfect position. Y'all know when you, Sunday afternoon naps, can I get a witness? That perfect position on my couch that my kid will not steal. He was snuggled up with his favorite pillow. That's what my Bible says. And this should teach us, church, how to fight back when our life is in the middle of a storm. God sent me to preach. We can't combat chaotic situations with more chaos. We can't. The way we fight back in our storm is to be like Jesus and to maintain our peace. We can't, I want to invite the band to come as I close. We can't, here's another way of illustrating this truth. You can't fight fire with fire when the storm hits. When the thing you're frying on the kitchen stove starts to flame up and cause the fire alarm to go off, you don't run and grab a blowtorch to put it out. That you don't fight fire with. The Holy Spirit dropped this in my spirit to share this truth this week. Louder yelling doesn't stop the yelling. I had to learn this as a dad. Me yelling actually teaches my kids to yell. So louder yelling actually doesn't stop the yelling. Proverbs says it's a gentle answer that turns away wrath. I got to learn this. I got to reteach myself every day, because when something happens and my stress level is high, I want to yell, don't you even care? But louder yelling, saying an abrasive comment or an even meaner cut down in the middle of a fight doesn't make the fight less destructive. It just because you're right doesn't mean you're going to make a difference. Dave Ramsey says it like this. I love this, and I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings this morning, but Dave has a gift of being sharp. He says it like this. He said, you can't fix stupid with more stupid. You can't.
So how is us being more frantic, more chaotic, more emotional, how is that going to fix our storm? The storm was loud, church. The storm was chaos. The storm was intimidating. The storm was exhilarating. The storm was intense. The storm was loud. And the disciples thought the way to fix it was to yell at the top of their lungs, "Don't you care? Don't you care, Jesus? Don't you see? Do you have eyes to see what I'm going through?" The whole time, Jesus was giving us the best example of what we could do in the middle of the storm. Jesus fought the chaos with peace. And church, God sent me to say we should be more like Jesus. We should be more like him. If you would, stand with me all across this room. Get ready, church, get ready. Because I believe with all my heart, this room is about to be filled with powerful peace. I know life seems chaotic for many of us in this room. That doesn't make you a bad person. That doesn't make you less than of a Christian. There's chaos and wind and waves crashing all around you. Many of you are going through a storm, and it's the worst storm that you've ever faced. You feel like your boat is about to sink, and I know it seems like your boat can't take much more of this. Your body can't take much more of this. Your emotional stability can't take much more of this. My financial pocketbook can't take much more of this. My health, my wholeness, my well-being, my mentality can't take much more of this. But here's the deal. If we're honest in this moment, if we're honest with ourselves, many of us in this room, I believe, would say, if one more thing comes my way, one more thing, I can't take anymore. I'm going to sink. Many of us feel like we're drowning. I'm not trying to be emotional, but we're drowning in bills. We're drowning with stress. We're drowning with anxiety. We're drowning with the pressure of life. And if that's you this morning, my heart goes out to you, and I can relate because life is stressful. But God sent me to tell you very vividly and clearly this morning, if that's you that I just described, can I tell you something powerful? God sent me to say that the storm can't touch you. I said the storm can't touch you. See, I believe I'm crazy enough to take God at his word. I'm crazy enough to believe every jot and tittle of this holy scripture. And I believe that this moment could be one of the most important moments of all of our lives if you let God give you peace. Many of us are going to fight back the storm this week with the most powerful weapon of peace instead of being afraid. Instead of being anxious, you're going to get your peace back, and you're going to put out a sign all week long. When you wake up in the morning, you're going to put your feet on the floor, and you're going to say, "Don't disturb my peace. Don't disturb my peace. Don't disturb my peace." I love the fact that our Lord and Savior had authority over the wind and the waves. He rebuked the very thing that was robbing him. And you need to do that this week. You need to speak directly to your problem. In the name of Jesus, I'm not going to let this rob me of my peace. In the name of Jesus, this relational conflict is not going to steal my joy. In the name of Jesus, this bill that's coming up is not going to rob my peace. In the name of Jesus, this sickness in my child is only going to strengthen their immune system. It's not going to ruin my peace. In the name of Jesus, you need to do what he's taught us by his example. Speak to the wind in your waves. Say, "Stop it. Peace. Be still." We need to put a sign out, church. Do not disturb my peace. With every head bowed, every eye closed, all across this room, I'm here this morning with a simple final message, and that is this: there is no way that you will ever find peace without Jesus. If you don't have an existing relationship with Jesus Christ, if you haven't been forgiven, if you haven't been released of your sin, guilt, and shame, if you haven't let Jesus sacrifice on the cross of Calvary and let his blood flow so that your sin can be separated as far as the east is from the west, if you don't confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, then I'm telling you, the peace that you're going to experience is only a facade. We cannot have real peace without the Prince of Peace. And so in this holy moment, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm not going to embarrass anyone in this moment, but if you know that right now you're not at peace in your life because your relationship with Jesus is distant or non-existent, you need to change that right now. He wants to give you peace unspeakable. He wants to love you unconditionally. He wants to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He wants to be your father and your friend, your defender, your ever-present help in time of need. So if you're in this room right now and you know that your life is out of control because your walk with Jesus needs to be fixed, lift up your hand and hold it high right now. I'm just going to pray for you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Don't miss this. He loves you. His kindness is leading you to repentance right now. He's not wanting to punish you. He's not wanting to shame you. He's wanting to release you. Anyone else, don't miss this moment. You need peace and you need Jesus this morning. Thank you for every hand. You can lower them. Church, pray with me right now. Thank you, God, for every hand that was lifted. God, I pray right now an overwhelming sense of peace would begin to flood into every person that lifted up their hand. Right now, we confess, Jesus, we need you. Jesus, we can't do this without you. Jesus, I want to be close to you, closer to you than I've ever been before. Right now, in this holy moment, I turn to you. And I face you fully and I say, Jesus, will you guide, direct, and take control of my life? Most of all, give me peace. Forgive me. You're my Lord now and you're my Savior. From this moment forward, we will follow you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Can we celebrate those that made that commitment this morning? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Heaven is rejoicing. This is going to be a new week. This is going to be a new day because we're saying, don't disturb my peace. This morning we're going to worship. We're going to close like we always do. Some of our elders and board members, prayer partners can come to this altar right now because here's the deal. Whether we just recommitted our life to Jesus or we've been following him faithfully for years and years, if there's a storm going on right now and you need prayer, then the God of peace is going to give us something that will transcend our thoughts, our understanding, and that peace is going to guard us. So pray with me. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your word. God, thank you for the Rhema word of God spoken over us. And now it's our determination to walk through the storm, not run from it. We're going to keep our peace. We're going to say, don't disturb me. And so for those of us that are walking through hell and high water, we're going to respond to your presence. We're going to respond and pray. We're going to intercede and we're going to trust you and we're going to fight for our peace right now. We're not going to let these circumstances rob us of our joy. We're not going to let difficult people get in our ear. We're going to be with the Prince of Peace today. So Father, I thank you for your anointing that's about to flow at this altar. Have your way in Jesus' name as we worship. If you need peace, get to this altar right now.